This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Louis Belcourt.
On November 23rd, Wednesday night last week, the Cortez Island Volunteer Fire Department received a call about a fire at the Cajuse Reserve at around 9:42 p.m. Eli McKinty, the interim fire chief, said that there were three structures involved in the fire behind the Cajuse Health Center when they arrived, with a quick response of about 15 minutes after receiving the 911 call. The fire department controlled the fire by the morning and stopped the health center from being damaged by the fire. A Cajuse official news release also stated, "The three buildings involved in the fire behind the health center have been destroyed, but everyone is safe and is going to be all right," and that the Strathcona Regional District Emergency Social Services have been activated and are providing additional support for the community and those affected by the fire. There is no publicly known cause for the fire as of yet. Keep listening for more details on last week's events from the interim fire chief, Eli McKinty.
It was a short night as far as sleep goes and a long night in every other way. Yeah, so at 9:42, we got a call for a structure fire with multiple structures involved. Assistant Chief Mac Diver, the former fire chief, is on duty right now, so he was on command. And we rolled all of our trucks. We had quite a good response and got up there. I think we had trucks arriving because the members all have to respond to their hauls and then get kitted out and respond in trucks. But I think we had pumpers and tankers on scene about 15 minutes after the call from 911. Yeah, it's a quite a good response for, it depends where a fire is. And actually, this is something that we've discussed with Cajuse and is going to come up again. They're considering building a third hall at Cajuse, which would speed up a response. But given the drive times involved, we were there as fast as possible on Cortez. So that was good. And the other thing that really served us is that Cajuse has huge water system with fire hydrants. It's the only hydrant protected neighborhood on the island. So knowing that, we were able to really use our resources well. And so one of the first things we did on scene, Mac arrived first and did the initial assessment. And then as we arrived, we took a hydrant with our pumper truck, but our new tender has a monitor, like a big deck gun that'll empty the 2,000 gallon tank in a matter of minutes. So we rolled that right up in front of the main building that we were attempting to protect and were able to shoot over it and really knock things down fast. So when we arrived, it's a cluster of buildings. There's a larger public space, and then there was four small houses behind it, and three of them were fully involved when we arrived. And the backside of the public space was also on fire. And we managed to knock that down and save the public building and the fourth house, which wasn't yet involved. And the public building was just starting to go up. So that it was the wall face, the upper wall face towards the rest of the fire, which was downwind of the fire. So it started in the center of the upwind side of this little cluster of buildings and had spread from there. But yeah, we had a really good response from our crew. Things went as we trained for them to go. And we made good use of the Cajuse water supplies, which are the best on the island for that kind of thing. It was a very slow incident to wind down because a partially burnt building that we can't safely go into is a very difficult thing to mop up all the spot fires and hot spots and stuff. The final couple of hours was just going round and round each of the buildings and getting access to as many areas as we could. And we have a couple of thermal imaging cameras that we surveyed everything with. And then there was actually one wall section that caught up later in the night. And we got a second call around, I think it was 6:30 a.m. But that was only took us, you know, a minute to knock down once we got there, and then we overhauled that all a second time and put it out. But I think this demonstrates that we are able to respond safely and effectively to an emergency and deal with whatever comes up. It's the volunteers that make it happen. In the long run, if there are developments going in like Rainbow Ridge or whatever, hydrant protection is huge, and sprinkler protection too. Like, the statistics around home sprinkler protection are fairly impressive. And otherwise, One thing that I definitely took note of is that some of the FireSmart guidelines, like having closed soffits, the backside of the public building had properly closed soffits, otherwise it probably would have burnt. That kind of thing is important, specifically for wildfires, but anytime you have fire exposure, all the same things apply. So if you have buildings close together and they're following the FireSmart protocols, they're going to be much easier to protect.
There is a GoFundMe page created to support Sandy Emmons, one of the people who lost their home and all their belongings in the fire. Find the link to that and more in the corresponding article to this story at cortezradio.ca/cktz-news.
Louis Bocor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.